I tell you what, I don't like to come to church, and I don't use this term loosely, cold and not ready. I like to have prayed. I like to have gotten my mind in the right frame of mind to come to church, to listen to what God has for us. And I want to teach just a little bit this morning about something that we all do, something that we all better do, and we all need, and that is prayer. And I titled this little lesson this morning, Prayer, Our Lifeline. If you don't pray, if you don't communicate, you're going to die. Now, I know divers go down with tanks on their back. Brother Baggett's familiar with that. I think he's a diver. Some divers would go down with the big helmets and the line all the way down. If they cut that lifeline off, he's done. I tell you, we need a lifeline. And I think about it as as a relationship. You know as well as I know, any relationship that's worth having, I don't care if it's your spouse, your sibling, a friend, or whatever, there has to be a line of communication. You take a couple that don't communicate, it's going to be pretty miserable, and chances are it ain't going to last very long. And sometimes we communicate a little on the rough side, but we make provision for that too. We ask one another to forgive us, and we keep communicating, keep going. But, you know, I want to talk just a little bit about different types of praying and how we should pray and that sort of thing. Prayer is kind of like a stoplight. You got a red, you got a yellow, you got a green. Sometimes he tells you no. Sometimes he tells you take caution, hold up. Sometimes it's a go ahead. But sometimes he just tells us no. And did you know that no is an answer to prayer sometimes? Sometimes I'd ask my parents for something. It was no. That was the answer. Wasn't no use going any further. Wasn't no use. Sometimes I'd plead my case, but it usually didn't work out too good. But I want to read a very familiar passage of Scripture, if you would like to, I'd like to stand. In Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 9. And these are the disciples talking to the Lord, asking him, teach us how to pray. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father. You can read it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for standing. God bless you this morning. Lord, we pray you would touch us with your mighty hand. Anoint us in the name of the Lord. We pray. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 short verses. He taught them how to pray. An all-inclusive prayer right there in 5 verses. And Christ gave this pattern to his disciples. And just as it's a pattern for them, it should be a pattern for our prayers also. And we should, number one, we should praise God. He started out, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We should start out praising God and praying for his work to be done in the world and in his kingdom. And then he goes on to talk about praying for our daily needs and to pray for help in our daily struggles. I studied that one scripture in particular about forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I might have mentioned this before, but the word debt and debtors means a debt that I could not pay. Forgive us our debts. Forgive me of the debt that I could not pay as I forgive my debtors. Did he not forgive us of a debt we could not pay on the cross of Calvary? There's no way that I could pay that debt. Lord, forgive me of that, just as I'm going to forgive the ones that owe me that cannot pay me. Amen. It's not necessarily in money, but forgive us our debts. And he's teaching them this wonderful way to pray. And number one, I want to talk about God's answer to prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verse 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. God considers our request of prayer through the lens of his perfect will, if you will. He looks at it through his will and often responds with something that proves to be far better than what we were wanting in the first place. But people often give up. I mean, after a few half-hearted efforts, you might say, and just conclude that God just can't be found. I'm going to quit. But knowing God takes three things. It takes faith, focus, and follow through. All of these things. Don't give up. And Jesus assures us in that scripture right there that all our efforts are going to be rewarded. Don't give up in your effort to seek God and his provisions and what you need and petitioning him. And Psalms chapter 84 and 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Those last two words are pretty important. You understand that? Those that walk uprightly. The scripture bears out that he's not listening to a sinner's prayer that's willfully sinning. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that's a sinner and wanting to repent and change their life. But those that walk uprightly, he's not going to withhold anything from them. And this verse does not promise that God is going to give us everything that we think is good. Necessarily, it won't necessarily be good for us, but he will not withhold what is permanently good for us. I mean, he's interested in us here, and he wants us to enjoy that life beyond this life. So he's not going to withhold anything from us that is permanently good. And he's going to give us the means to walk in his ways. But we have to do the walking. I mean, you can have all the camping gear in the world, but if you don't get up and go, it's not going to do you any good. You can equip yourself with all the stuff you might need, but it takes us to do the walking. And he will give us the means that we need to walk in his paths. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Talking about God's answer to prayer. Almost the same verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Did you know God wants to give us good gifts? That's what his word says. Amen. If your heavenly Father wants to give you good gifts, how much more does our heavenly Father want to give us good gifts? If God gave his son on the cross of Calvary for you, he is not going to hold back the gift of salvation. He's not going to do that. And if Christ gave his life for you, he isn't going to turn around and condemn you. He said himself, I didn't come to condemn, but to save those that are lost, to save this world. And he will not withhold anything that you need to live for him. So he does have an answer to your prayer. And number one, sometimes it's an immediate answer to prayer. And there are times when our prayers line up exactly with his will and his timing, and his answer arrives on the spot. Sometimes it's even quicker than that. And I'm sure some of y'all are just like me. I've been a recipient of an instant healing many times, several times. I was a young boy one time. I think I was in high school and my brother's in college, and he came home. I was sick. One of the few times I ever had the flu, I called it. I was sick. in bed, and they came in and prayed for me. And I'm telling you, anybody been healed from the flu instantly? I don't mean feeling better in a couple of days. I mean from sick to well in a matter of minutes. You? I have. I've had my family pray for me and be instantly healed in my living room, sick. I was up here teaching one morning, fixing to teach. I was sick. And I was going to teach a lesson. I never will forget it. It was entitled, "It's for the Children." And I wasn't feeling good. And something led me to call out some young men out of the audience. Brother David was one of them. And there were several more that came up with him. Heal me right there instantly in this church. That's an immediate answer. Sometimes his will, the timing, and everything is right. And God will touch you. Amen. Thank God for that. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, a good example of this. "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Amen. But we got to be walking uprightly. That's what we just got through reading. I'm telling you, the Lord is ready in his time, in his will, to touch you right now. Amen. I'm telling you, it doesn't get any quicker than that. We read about Abraham sends his servant to find a wife for Isaac. And of course, you have to understand in the East and in that day and time, that's the way it worked. I don't really know anybody here whose father sent a servant to go find him a wife. Anybody? We went and got our own, I guess, all of them, I hope. But anyway, he prayed that God would grant him success when he went out. Genesis 24 and 12. "And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and shew kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink. And I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shewed kindness unto my master." And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. I wonder if he finished speaking. I guess he did. Before he finished speaking, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. He had already prepared an answer. And I'm telling you, that's a good woman. She gave him to drink and would also water his camels. You got any idea how much water a camel can drink? And they ain't just turning on a spigot and filling a trough and letting them just drink. She's taking it out of a well. If I know anything about camels and what little bit I've read, them dudes can drink. You hear me? That's why they can go great distances across the desert without drinking, because they drink a lot of water. So what does this mean? She likely started out on her way long before Abraham's servant had even begun praying. And her demeanor and her willingness to give the servant water and then water his camels, it's obvious this had been developed over a lifetime. And she had been preparing herself, probably unknowingly, for this encounter. But I want to tell you right now, God is not bound by time. He works in eternity. And he may start answering a request years before you begin to pray it. And God can be preparing things right now for prayers that you one day will pray. And I tell you, it's a great joy to experience an immediate success, an immediate answer, even while you pray. But that's why I'm a firm believer. And pray for things right now or things that are on your heart. God may be already preparing an answer over here, what you're seeking, even before you pray or even while you're praying. That's a good example of that. But let's understand that God operates in His time, in His will, and His purpose. Amen. The second thing is in due time. We touched on it just a little bit. And a delay in prayer. I told you sometimes the answer is no, but a delay in your prayer should never be interpreted as a denial. Don't ever take it as God is just, there's no way, there's no hope. Don't take it as a denial. You know, it's kind of like a young kid, like an 8, 9, 10-year-old kid said, I want a car. Well, what are you going to tell him? No. It's not necessarily a denial. It's that you're going to have to be just a little bit older. You're not quite ready for that. So don't always interpret a delay in your prayer as a denial to your prayer. Zechariah the priest, John the Baptist's father, he prayed many, many times for a child in his early years, but no child had come to them. And it just seemed like all hope had been lost and his dream died. And you have to understand this is pretty important to Zacharias because he was of the priestly order. And when Zacharias died, that's the end of it. And Zacharias wanted a son to carry on the priesthood, and he prayed diligently. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. John is one of the three men in the Bible that took Nazarite vows. The other one being Samuel, and the other one we know, Samson. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many other children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias. Boy, you talk about an answer to prayer. Lord, I just wanted a son. But did you hear all that he said he's going to be? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man. Praying for a son. And then he says, I'm an old man. And my wife, well stricken in years. Well, some people may look at him and say, Well, what you praying for? If you're an old man and your wife's well stricken in years, you're wanting a son. I'm telling you, in his heart of hearts, I think Zacharias knew it could happen. Amen. Verse 19, and the angel answered me, said unto him, I am Gabriel. I'm not your average angel, boy. That stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to shew thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. It's coming, Zacharias. You may not know exactly when, but it's coming. And of course, you just heard what he said. You're going to be dumb. You're not going to be able to speak. Because Gabriel, the main angel, spoke to him. Drop on down to Luke chapter 1, verse 62. This is after the birth of John, and they were in the temple 8 days later for the circumcision. And that's usually where they declared the name of the son or the child. And they made signs to the father how he would have him called. Now, I hadn't studied that too much. This is kind of a running off on a rabbit trail. Have you ever studied that too much? They made signs unto him. You reckon he was deaf and dumb? I didn't see anything about deaf, but I wondered about that. That's just something to think about. They made signs to the father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they all marveled. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. kind of like the Holy Ghost. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him, and his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Everything God said came to pass. But you might notice, he never told Zacharias he's going to be in a prison. He's going to lose his head to Herod for all that he's done. He spared Zacharias that. I don't know if Zacharias lived to see that day. But I do know that John was of the priestly order. He didn't practice in the temple like his father. He did not have his turn in the temple as a priest, but he was of priestly order. And the reason I say that is because when Christ came to the river, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Only the priest could hold the lamb up after being examined and declare it perfect for sacrifice. John had the right to say what he said about Jesus Christ. I tell you, God will fulfill his promise if we just keep praying. Keep asking. It'll be in his time, in his will, and according to his purpose. And we read about Hannah in the temple crying for a child. And we know she birthed Samuel the prophet, who the scripture says not one word of his prophecy ever fell to the ground. Would you like to be the kind of person that everything you said was right and true and came to pass? Samuel was that man. Amen. Rebecca and Isaac. Back in their day, there was something about being barren. But when the answer came, it was such a great blessing. And all these children born from what seemed to be barren wombs to these were major players in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And we know that in his earthly purpose. And I tell you what the Lord will give us today if we just hold on is faith and patience to wait until the right time gets here, until it's time for an answer. And that's why we should never, ever let unanswered prayers stop us from praying again today and tomorrow with just as much faith and freedom as we did the first time we prayed. Amen. Amen. Third thing, right quick, praying his will or our way. And we know we need to pray the will of God. He is sensitive to our needs. He knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what we want. And sometimes he supplies our wants. He gives us what we want. But he does know our needs. Israel wanted a king for themselves. They'd seen other countries with kings. They wanted a king. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 18. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. It was not in their best interest, but he let them have what they wanted. Verse 19, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. And sometimes I think we're praying maybe the wrong things because maybe we're looking through the eyes of the flesh. I've been guilty of that. I'm not accusing anybody of that, but I will tell you, I've been guilty of that. Maybe I was being selfish. I guess I was. Something I wanted. And I'm telling you, after I got it, it's not necessarily material things, but after I got it, it was not in my best interest. Amen. We'll just leave it at that. But sometimes God will let us have what we want, but we need to be praying the will of God. Israel wanted quail to eat. They began to grumble and complain about Egypt and where they had come from. And they've been feasting on manna, but they wanted quail to eat. Numbers chapter 11, verse 32, and the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. I tell you, we don't need to complain. God will let you have what you want, even if it's not in the best interest of you. And you will find that while it's in your teeth and while you yet chew it, a plague may come upon you. Something adverse may happen to you, not in your best interest. And you will wonder what happened. Why? Because sometimes the Lord needs to teach us that we don't always need what we want. Amen. We should always conclude our prayers every time we think about it. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Christ prayed this nearly every time he got down to pray. We read about it often in the scripture, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, Lord, if there's some way, let this cup pass from me. There might be a better way. Maybe there is, you know. But nevertheless, Lord, nevertheless, Father, let your will be done and not mine. I remind us again, God operates in eternity, not in time. And he has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life. He knows what we have need of. And we need to examine our prayers pretty close when we pray. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is Christ's law of forgiveness as he taught it in the Gospels. And we saw it in the Lord's Prayer. And I mentioned about forgiving our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I tell you, out of God's great mercy, he forgives us as we forgive others. And I tell you, as we begin to see and understand the forgiveness of God, we'll be able to forgive. That's one of the hardest things to do, and even harder to do than that, is to forget. And what did he tell us? We have to forgive, we have to forget. That's one of the hardest things for us to do. But I tell you right now, if you're not willing to forgive, you don't have much of a chance becoming one with Christ. That's pretty harsh, but that's the way it is. I'm telling you, we got to have a kind, forgiving spirit. I mean, he just said, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away with all malice. You know what malice is? That's wanting somebody to do bad. That's wanting somebody to hurt. And I'm telling you, that is evil. And Christ Paul was writing this, but he's very adamant about that, about being kind one to another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. I'm telling you, for the river to flow out of us of living water, there cannot be no restraint put on the Spirit. One of the first things we used to do when we'd go camping, we were little boys, we'd try to get by a creek, we'd dam it up, try to make a swimming hole. But nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, it stymied the flow downstream. We cannot do that in our prayer life and in our spiritual life. We have to let the water flow from us. Amen. Number four, the heart may not be right. James chapter 4, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. I tell you, God, he may veto an answer to your prayer to guard us from any hurt or anything that could result from an adverse request. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. For that they hated knowledge, I mean, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Did not want to study God in his precepts and his laws. They were wanting something else. And he says right here, you're going to seek me, but you're not going to find me. Luke chapter 5. If you read it, it's about Christ meeting up with the disciples that had been fishing. And he asked them about, have you caught anything? No, we'd fished. They were cleaning their nets. And they had fished all night. And hadn't caught anything. And he told them to let down their nets, go back. And you know what they said? Nevertheless, we'll do it. I'm telling you, we need a clean net. We need an obedient heart. And I tell you, the word of the Lord will give us a miracle. That will answer your prayer. And that's just what we read. They called upon me, but I'm not going to hear them. I'm telling you, we got to have a clean net. We got to have an obedient heart. And God will provide the miracle with his word. Amen. Let's get our hearts right. I'll tell you, that's why I love the prayer room. I'll tell you, it kind of sets the tone for me to come into this sanctuary to start studying the word of the Lord. I think it's a wonderful thing. And sometimes God has a better plan. We've already mentioned that. If you read John chapter 5, verse 1 through 9, you read about the man at the pool of Bethesda. He couldn't get in the pool. He was lame, said, I don't have anybody to help me into the pool when the waters are troubled. And for 38 years, the scripture said he had been lame. And, of course, you know the story, how Christ told him, said, take up your bed and walk. Amen. But no matter how trapped you may feel in your problems or in your infirmities, and I'm not necessarily talking about physical infirmities, God can minister to your deepest needs. Do not be afraid to take your deepest needs to God in prayer. And don't let a problem or some hardship cause you to lose hope. We have people sitting in this audience this morning that are facing situations with their family where it looks like all hope is gone. But I'm telling you, just keep praying. Just keep praying. God's on the throne. God answers prayer. He knows the heart. He knows the mind. And he knows what he's doing. Amen. Whatever the outcome might be, just keep praying. Amen. Don't lose hope. And I'm telling you, God may have a special work for you to do in spite of whatever condition you're facing or even because of it if you're praying about it. And I tell you, a lot of Christians, I believe, have ministered very effectively to other people simply because they triumphed over their own hurts similar to theirs. I'm telling you, y'all have gone through things that I have not gone through that you can minister somebody that's going through the same thing, and you can be an encouragement to them. And that's what it's all about. But the man couldn't get in the pool, and Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. John chapter 11, verse 21. God has a better plan. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And when I read this story and I went back, and the scripture says that when they got there, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And I think there's a significance in that. And I might have shared this with some of y'all. But in Jewish culture, in the way they believe when a person was put into the tomb, that the spirit would hover above the tomb for 3 days. And after 3 days, if the body didn't stir, the spirit wouldn't go back into the body. Of course, you know as well as I do, there's been people been buried alive, thought they was dead and they were in a coma. But that's what they believe for 3 days. It'd been 4 days since Lazarus was in the tomb. After the third day, if the spirit does not re-enter the body, the spirit would leave. That was their mindset and their culture. I'm not saying that's exactly how it happened. But I think there was a significance in the fourth day. The spirit had gone. They knew Lazarus was dead. There would be no calling Lazarus forth and him coming forth and say, oh, well, the spirit hovered above the tomb. It was only 3 days. It went back into the body. He really wasn't dead. No, God had a better plan. If you read this story and read not too much further, he wasn't too far from going to the cross. And God was fixing to get much more glory from this situation, which was the resurrection. God has a better plan for us. Amen. And I'm sure Mary and Martha said, if you'd have been here early, he would not have died. But he said, Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. Don't give up praying. God has an answer for you. But one thing we need to do is get in the Word. We need to know the character of God. We need to know the attributes of God. And so we can pray the will of God and see results. I'm telling you, our richest blessings are ours to enjoy because he has them. He wants to give them to us. The scripture talks about according to his riches in glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I'm fixing to close. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's in 1 Corinthians. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God has great gifts for us. And it says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. A lot of times we equate that with heaven itself. We haven't seen it. We've read about it. We've only heard about it, but we have not seen it. But that's not necessarily true, everything. There's some things here that my eye has not seen and my ear has not heard, things that God has for us. I'm telling you, folks, let's hang on to God and let's pray, because I believe the only thing that is going to bring people into the kingdom of God is miracles in the church and miracles outside of this church house. It's going to be things that your eye has not seen and your ear has not heard. God has some great things for us if we'll hang on. I'm telling you, it's getting harder and harder to get people to come to church. Am I not right? They've been duped so many times. And people are saying they're Christians, and they're portraying characters that are not conducive to Christian living. And people see that. And it's hard to get people to come to church. I'm going to tell you, folks, we're going to have to get a grip on God. And we're going to have to keep the prayer lines open and keep the communication open if we're going to see the very things that is going to cause the kingdom of God to grow in these last days. Isaiah chapter 64 is almost a mirror, a scripture of what I just read. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hast I seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. I tell you, we cannot imagine what God has in store for us, both in this life and eternity. And I'm telling you, knowing the wonderful and the eternal future that awaits us, that gives me hope. And it gives me courage to press on. Amen. I don't care what comes or goes. I'm kind of like Brother Baggett said before. If I've done everything I can, and it boils down to me and my wife and my children and my immediate family, I'm going to give it the best I can. It may just be us in the ark of safety. That may be all that I accomplish, but I'm going to give it everything I got to try to bring everybody I can with me. I tell you, this world is not all there is. The best is yet to come. God bless you this morning. Let's keep praying. Every chance we get. You know, the Bible talks about praying always. Well, it's not always bending the knee, getting on the knees and praying. I'm telling you, you can be in a prayerful mind all day long. On the job, I don't care where you at, you can communicate with God. So let's pray, and let's communicate with God and keep the prayer lines open. God bless you this morning. I love you. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back for our regular service.